Welcome to another episode of the Ultra Happy Podcast. I am your host, ultra runner and coach Tania, and my magnificent co-host Andy.
Magnificent.
Yay. Excellent, guys. How has everyone been doing?
Are we still asking everyone how they're doing?
Yeah. I think it's important to care for everyone. So, quick update. We are 5 weeks from the desert, from the first desert, Namibia. And I'm getting so excited again, like 5 weeks.
You're excited, I'm terrified.
I know, every week is just getting closer and closer. Yeah. And definitely, so sad news flash. This is not the last one. The next one will be our last episode the season, because then we are heading out to Dubai. So from the next episode, then the next one will be in Dubai, in our, hopefully, a new setup. So, excellent. And today we have a so amazing guest. I'm so excited to introduce my guest today. And we spoke, obviously, about gear briefly, a little bit briefly. I showed you guys my pack that I'm taking. And I think one of the most important pieces of kit that I will, like, one of the things that you cannot, like, go cheap at all, or even in training, it's shoes. Trainers, right? So I know there's so many options, and I receive such like a fair amount of questions about shoes, and me as a coach or as a, you know, athlete, and even yourself.
Well, I'm super excited for this one, because I'm a sneakerhead.
Yeah,
like I'm a trainer collector, and at one point I had over 250 pairs of trainers. I even had the box. Remember the big gigantic
display box.
But interestingly enough, I know nothing about running shoes and the technology.
But now you're a runner, so we need to keep you up to speed.
Even the technology, it's moving forward at such a pace. No pun intended. But it is moving forward at such a pace, and it'll be amazing to learn from an expert. So.
Exactly. So, like everyone knew from the previous podcast, I like to bring experts about topics that we like to, you know, not like runners and obviously runners, but experts more than anything. And today we have a field marketing for Hoka. He's been running for almost 20 years. Obviously, he's an ultra runner, biomedical engineer, and master's in science applied in biomechanics. He has plenty of experience in preventive medicine and rehab, with over a decade doing research and technology development and educational programs. He's also a coach, a Spartan coach, outdoor instructor, and leader of the Epic Grit and Resilient Run Club back there in the USA. It's truly an inspiration for me. He's a great and amazing athlete, and I am very lucky to call him my friend, Antonio Tovar. Antonio, hi!
Hey, guys!
Yay!
What a time to be alive, huh? Recording and talking about stuff across the globe.
¿Cómo estás? Are we going to practice our Spanish with Andy here?
Perfecto.
¿Qué tal, mi amigo?
Hola, Andy, ¿cómo estás?
Sí.
Muy bien, ¿y tú?
Muy bien. Muy, muy feliz de estar con ustedes en el show.
Look at that. We'll do it in English just for the sake of everyone. Yeah,
For the sake of efficiency, let's do it like that.
Yeah, just so you understand, we will do it in English. Like I said, I get a lot of questions from everyone about shoes and trainers. And
of course, we
know you are the ultimate expert. So, you know, I know there's a massive boom in super shoes right now.
Sure.
And with that, there is a lot of new injuries coming. I think it's been, you know, one of those things. And I just want, you know, to pick your brains on that matter. And what's your point of view in all that, you know, trainers world that you're so, you know, submerged in?
Yeah, well, it's such a it's a very big topic, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to start first by, you know, you guys said it in the very brief intro that you guys did. I mean, it's something that you definitely don't want to go cheap on, right?
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, back in the day, we had the understanding that your daily trainers were something that were extremely utilitarian and you should get from the discount bin because you're going to run through them quickly, right? Mm-hmm. But your daily trainers are where you're putting most of your volume in. So there's no reason why those should be the cheapest ones or the ones you don't care about. And as Andy was saying, technology has evolved so much that also there was not such an abrupt difference between offerings as it is today when it comes to product, right? Like, you know, if we remember the classic Forrest Gump shoes, right? The Nike Cortez, it was just a piece of rubber. Yeah. It was just a piece of rubber, right?
I think he ran months and months with that. That's unbelievable.
The Nike waffle. trainer, and if you've ever seen that,
yeah,
the original one, the original the waffle one, trainer, yeah, is nothing. It's nothing to it.
It's just rubber, right? And you know, back then, the only thing that we were experimenting on was changing the amount of interface that we had with the ground, right? Like we would have a little bit more rubber, a little bit less rubber. Yeah. We'd have a little bit more of a heel drop, right? A little bit less. Right. I mean, everybody listening to this podcast is probably familiar with those terms, but it's basically how far is the heel from the ground versus how far is the front to from the ground. Right. So there were very little things that you can, you know, tweak. But nowadays, of course, we know there's a lot of other things. And I'm going to start saying that there's really no replacement for the foundation. Right. You know, Tanya, yourself as a coach, myself as a coach, I mean, there's no other. There's not a shoe that is going to entirely fix every single one of your problems, right? I mean, we need to train. We need to have a strong foundation. We need to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves. But at the same time, you know, we're exploring things in a different way now. We're going to deserts. We're going to the Antarctica. We're climbing mountains. We're doing, you know, 200 miles at a time. We're doing things that our bodies can be adapted to that, but that there's no survival situation, you know, in which I'm going to run 200 miles. I'm just going to die, and then I'm going to be the weakest link, and somebody else will take my place in the evolutionary in the evolutionary game, right? So that's that. I want to preface with that because, of course, as we know, there's a huge movement about minimalist shoes, about training barefoot. I want
to talk about that,
And there is a place for that. There is a place for that, right? Yeah. But at the same time, as we keep to push the boundaries of performance, there is, you know, also a place for other type of footwear, other type of performance footwear. Right now, there's studies that show that people that run strictly in zero drop shoes have a lot more tension on your Achilles. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that it's a bad shoe for your Achilles, but then, you know, train like you fight, then strengthen your Achilles on your on your accessory work, because that's how you're gonna be running it. Does that make sense? So, definitely, you know.
I think it's such a personal, I mean, every topic that we've talked here, even training and nutrition, is so personal, right? And then obviously trainers or shoes are the same. Like it's exactly the same. You need to kind of like figure out what is the shoe that kind of suits you. And like you said, oh, maybe I have a really strong Achilles and I can, you know, sustain that. And then you go for that. Yeah. But there's maybe I'm a little bit of pronator or a supinator, you know, like that means that if your shoe is landing like this or your shoe is landing like that. So it's pretty much, again, like a self-discovery journey. What is sort of the shoe that...
But I also think that they're incredibly specific. So it feels to me like sometimes there's not enough out there. So if you think about it, now it's coming across, and you were saying, Antonio, about studies and all that. We've got chat about things that are relative to your height, your weight, you know, all these different things.
Sure.
Then you start to get into energy return and then stability and how many miles they're good for to make them. It just seems that there's an awful lot out there.
And with that train of thought that Andy was saying, what thing do you think people should consider when getting a new shoe now? Because I think like the market is like, you know, there's so many options out there.
Oh, there is, for sure. I mean, I'm going to do, like, a full disclaimer, I work for one of the major shoe companies right now, right?
Yeah.
You know, I work for Hoka, but I'm before working for Hoka, I've been a running and a gearhead. So that's actually, that's what I ended up working for Hoka. But anyway.
That's how we met.
Exactly. You and I met just trying to push the limits, just trying like, hey, so what are you doing for this ultra? Hey, you've done this thing. Hey, how do you coach your clients? Oh, how do you coach yours?
Yeah. I know.
Those were the times,
I know.
Oh my God. Yes. Sorry. I need to digest that nice feeling of remember. But okay.
I know.
Moving on. Moving on. I think when I love you too, Tanya. I think that before asking what is out there, you have to understand yourself. So when you're thinking about a new pair of shoes, you gotta take a close look at yourself first.
Correct.
Right? Yeah. So that is the first thing. Like I think that a huge mistake is try to look at the product before understanding how you work and how you are gonna operate.
Yeah.
So I think that's the first thing to understand. So there are a couple of things that we can talk about that are good questions to ask yourself, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, of course, every question that you answer is gonna, you know, make the circle of offerings smaller, mm-hmm. right? Uh-huh. Until ideally you get, you know, with a handful
just
of options.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And then in the end, you know, sorry, you still have to go through it. And I know that it's a lot of investment in terms of time and money and all that fun stuff. But you know, there's a lot of companies out there that have a 30-day try period. There's a lot of stores that do that. So I much rather have my money kidnapped for a month and know that I can get it back instead of reaching for the discounted thing that is not going to help me.
Absolutely.
So that being said, you know, one of the things that that I always encourage people is go to a specialty store if you can. If you have access to a store that deals with runners, a specialty store, that's a bad thing to do because these people see runners in and out all day. If you don't, which is fair, there's a lot of information in the internet, right? Which is to dissect it. But I think that the first question that I would ask myself would be, what is my purpose with running? That would be the first question that I would ask myself.
Absolutely.
Am I a competitive athlete? Am I, you know,
an endurance athlete?
Is my wife an ultra runner and I just want to go on a couple of jogs with her, right? This type of things is gonna be the first circle, because that is gonna put you in, I wouldn't say the beginner shoe, because that's, I don't think that's a right assessment, but it's gonna put you in the most basic shoe, right? I mean, I personally run in the most basic shoe that Hoka has to offer, which is a Clifton, almost every day, and I love it, and I'm a very experienced runner, but it's like my favorite thing on earth to run in, right? So that's what I like. Please, let's give ourselves a little bit of grace. That not because you're a beginner means that you aspire to lesser product or to lesser performance.
Yes,
you have very specific needs, just like the guy that is pushing the sub 3 marathon or the sub 2:30, right? You have very specific needs. Just your needs are different. So if you're starting your journey, or your journey is taking you into low mileage, right?
Yeah.
That's going to put you in a category that it's any shoe that is not a racing model, I would say, right? Mm-hmm. So we have our daily trainers and our racing shoes. The main difference is going to be that our racing shoes are going to be probably a little bit lighter. They're going to definitely be a little bit more expensive. They are also going to have, you know, geometries that are designed for you to move faster, to spend more time on the ground, less time on the ground, sorry. Yeah. So when we're running, we have the swing phase, which is when we're like flying, and the stance phase, which is when our foot is on the ground. So racing shoes are designed so that your stance phase is very, very short, right?
Yeah.
So when you're starting your running journey, the best thing to do is go with a neutral shoe, a daily trainer that is not gonna put added stressors to your biomechanics, if that makes sense. If you're getting a super bouncy shoe, you're not ready for that mechanics. Does that make sense? And I see that. I remember this from the Berlin Marathon 2 years ago. I was running and I was very much behind the pack. And I saw somebody that was probably going at a pace of, I want to say, more than 6 hours. Yeah. And they were running a $300 pair of shoes, the Alphaflies, the one that the Eliud Kipchoge used to run this, you know, to break the sub 2 marathon, right? And I was just hurting for this person because you could see, but you know, this person melting into the shoe and being unstable.
I have a funny story about that, actually. I went to that's what I was saying, in the shoes, if you go to a shoe store, you know, they want to try to sell your shoes. And I've had a couple of times that I go to the running shoes and I kind of know, obviously, like you said, because I'm going to be a little bit more experienced, and I go and I see what I want and I kind of like narrow it down already. But you see people there that are probably beginners, and they're asking the salesperson, and the salesperson even tried to sell me those shoes. I can't remember the shoes, but they were like the ones that were using the UTMB winners, right? Because I was looking for my $100 training shoe.
Tecton X.
Exactly. And she gets,
which is a fantastic shoe for that, for that terrain. But like, if you're gonna go in the desert, makes no sense.
No, and someone that is like probably 30 kilos lighter than me, because the guy is like, this is what the elites are using. I'm like, but the elite girl that is using this is like 40 kilos less than me. Like that shoe is not gonna be good for my weight.
But also, I think
that is a key thing too. There, sorry to interrupt you, Eddie, but that's a key thing. Like, it's not just so much about the weight. Because there are very strong runners that are heavier. Like, let's also separate the fact of weight with body fat. Because, you know, if you're muscular, you're going to be a super heavy runner, period.
Yeah.
But not just for you, but like generally for the people that are listening to this, right? Correct. But also, like you were saying, those elite shoes are meant for somebody that's going to spend so
fast.
Little time.
I was going to say, they go fast.
So little time in the shoe and so little time per step that there's probably some factors that are not going to be added into that shoe. For example,
exactly.
More support or more cushioning.
Exactly. Yeah. But the guy, the salesperson just wanted to sell the most expensive
of course.
Shoe to the person.
I think to caveat that as well, I think that what happens is, see, as a non-runner or someone who's just started mm-hmm. doing like 5 and 10 Ks, initially what happened is I settled on brand identity. So I was a particular brand kind of guy, and I went for, and I'm actually going to talk about it a bit later, is that I went for...
Show him your shoes.
I went for an expensive Alphafly. To get me off the ground, start running. And actually what happened was, is that I'd found that while that shoe was good, it was a great shoe, you know what I mean, it's expensive, it made me really, it made me feel fast, but it made me feel uneasy. And, you
it's
know,
sure.
it, it wasn't very stable, it wasn't great. But I think when it starts, when people start getting out there running, one, they're going for brand identity because they associate themselves with that brand that they don't really know. And then, but I also think that, people don't necessarily always do their due diligence when it comes to shoes when they're starting running. I don't know if you agree with that.
I 100% agree. And also, you know, it's one of those things that you feel that I don't even know if I'm going to like it. So I'm just going to, you know, do what I see fit. Or like, for cool. like, you know, yeah, exactly. I agree with that. But that's why I think that, you know, I think that the fight is not in selling one product, right? Like the fight is not, is Nike better than Reebok, than Hoka, than Salomon? That's not the fight. The fight is to have educated consumers, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
To give people the tools to understand how a shoe works, right?
Yes.
Because also, like Andy, to your point, I mean, you know, their technology has changed so much that even if you like Nike 10 years ago, you may not like them now.
Yeah.
I just went through this with one of my runners from my running club. He was a hardcore New Balance fan, and they stopped producing the shoe that he was running in for over 10 years. Yes, I know that you have a story with Hoka about that. Yeah. and then he struggled finding the next offering that would, you know, help his foot, right? Yeah. And we worked through different brands.
When they stopped, we were in the Evo Hoka.
I know.
You were
yeah,
the first person. I was like,
you
were
raging.
You need to make this happen. What is going on?
And part of it is like, you know, the technology evolves. And it's just, it's kind of like the same thing, right? Like, as much as some people like, you know, cooking in a cast iron pan,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Ceramic lasts longer. You don't need any oil. Stuff like that. So you're going to have statistically more people making ceramic pans than they have, you know, than they're making iron cast pans. My reason with this analogy is that sometimes the reason why things get discontinued is because materials evolve so much.
Yeah.
Right. And even sometimes is for some companies also is the environment is we're going to stop doing this shoe because the carbon footprint of this is terrible. Yeah. So there are a lot of things behind, like as a consumer that we don't see, but that happened behind the scenes, and there's a reasoning for that. So anyway, that aside, I think that the first question is, what is your expectation with running? And go find shoes that are based on that. Maybe there are some people that are incredibly, incredibly talented as athletes, and even though they have never run, the first time they do a 5K, they do it under 25 minutes. And, you know, so maybe that person's goal is like, you know what? I want to be faster than that. So even though it's my first running shoe, I'm going to go with a racing shoe.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I'm going fast.
So it's kind of like
that's exactly what happened to me, isn't it?
Like, yeah, it's kind of like looking at yourself and being, what is my goal with running?
Yeah.
And that's going to be the first thing that I would ask myself. What is my goal?
Right.
The second thing that I would add. Sorry, you want to add something on that?
Yeah. No. But like I was saying, now that you're like, let's say this person has started running, right? It started like their journey and everything, and then they start feeling like the niggles and the pains and all that. The first thing that we tend to do is blame the shoe.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Of course.
You agree with that? And you're like, is the shoe?
Second question.
Exactly.
Which is my second question. So now that I know my goal, where am I at with my fitness? Am I running?
Yeah. Or my strength, because I feel like sometimes it's like you have a weak I don't know, knee, or you have something that, and then you put those shoes, and that they are not good complement with that. So it's not the problem of the shoe; it's because you probably are weak and you need to work more at the gym or build more strength rather than change the shoe.
Would you know something? Interestingly enough, I've been saying to Tanya for quite a while, and I don't know if it's something that you have over in the States, but I've always thought that there should be some kind of performance doctor, someone that's not in a store that's independent. And I mean, what do you think about having someone who's independent that looks at your height, weight, form, stride, gait, foot shape, etc., and suggests something honest to wear? Because I see a lot of people out there running in bizarre shoes. I seen a guy running in Yeezys the other day.
Oh, God.
What is going on? Now, it doesn't matter whether you are running a 5K or whether you're running a 10K or whether you're running 100 metres. Yeezys are not the right thing to run in.
I know.
Do you know what I mean? So I've always wondered, if you are going to take it seriously, is there someone out there, not just simply a chiropodist, that you can go and speak to and they'll tell you what to do?
I think that varies a lot from country to country. You know, like, you know, in Mexico, and I know that Tanya talked about it in some of the episodes, like Tanya and I both were brought into the world of fitness by great coaches that have a lot of scientific knowledge and will do some of this for you, right? Yeah. So, you know, I would say, you know, in Mexico, for example, or in Latin America, I think that role is a very specialized coach.
Yeah.
Right? And we're talking about the US, where I live. Uh-huh. That role is probably your physical therapist. Find a physical therapist that is really knowledgeable in runners, right?
That's a pretty good point. That's very good advice. Yeah, so rather than go to the sports shoe to get, you know, the shoes, maybe first go to a coach and then a physiotherapist. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I like that. And also, I know that in Europe, they also have some countries who have what is called an exercise physiologist, which is also very specific. And it's kind of like different from the US, because it's not physical therapy only. They know a little bit more about kinesiology and biomechanics. So, for example, that would be a very good resource when we're talking about Europe. But I mean, in a nutshell, you want to find somebody that looks at your body before the shoe, which is my whole point with this conversation, right?
Like,
I mean, the second point is like, where am I with my fitness and my training and stuff like that? Like, okay, I want to start running, walking while I walk my dog.
Yeah.
All right, cool. I probably don't need much intervention then. Just start figuring it out, right?
Yeah.
But if, hey, I want to keep up with, you know, my significant other who is already running marathons and I want to train seriously, right? Okay, so then you have to be very honest with yourself and realize that not because you buy a pair of Alpha Flies, you're going to break 2 hours in the marathon, right? Like my point there would be, take those $300 and invest them in a coach. For that first month that you start running.
Yes, absolutely.
Because probably you're going to spend the less time running and more time in the gym.
Yes.
And actually what you're saying makes a lot of sense, because what you would do is you would go to see the physiotherapist. They would tell you about your stride, tell you about everything else. You take that information and then go to the professional at the running shop and say, this is what I've been told to get. This is a style issue I've been told to get. Yeah. And that definitely
sets you off the right path. And even the physio can tell you, hey, you need to work more in strengthening this part or this part. Because I get that with my athletes a lot. They go and they come back saying, hey, it looks like my gluteus maximus is a little bit weak. So I know where to put more more strength work on it.
Mm-hmm.
And also taking consideration a little bit of your injuries, your past injuries or your current injuries.
Yes.
And because Andy, for example, when I gave him when he was started running and he was doing it in those other shoes that were very unstable, he has a broken ankle, right? So he has
had a broken
ankle. It's not a broken ankle anymore.
I'm not David Goggins.
It's a little bit broken because it's like very painful all the time. But he has like a massive plate of, you know, work in there. So he needs a little bit more cushion, you know? So that's why the other ones were not working, because it was very unstable. So his ankle was already sore and, you know? So I decided to tell him to, like, you need a little bit more cushion. Even though you're going to do start and even though you're like running short distances, we do need that support because, you know, you're already injured.
Yeah.
Of course. And that goes into like asking what is my current status, right? Like, am I recovering from an injury? One of the things that I always say is like, and I mean, this doesn't come from a place of shaming or anything. We know that all athletes come in different shapes and sizes, But one of the things that I always say is like, oh, you know, people tell me like, oh, my knees are killing me. I need more cushioning. I'm like, well, you know what? It's a lot easier. Lose those 10 extra pounds or those 20 extra pounds. So you don't have to, you don't have to think that much about your volume of training or your footwear. That's what I always preface this conversation. There's really not a shoe that is going to solve the underlying issues.
Yes,
shoes are tools like anything else, right?
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
It's just a tool, right? Like I have a history of back injuries. And I know, for example, that I cannot lift without a belt. And it's not a matter of how heavy the barbell is. It's just, I need that, right? So same situation happens with shoes. I mean, you know, so first, what is your goal? Second, what is your current status, right? And that way, for example, you know, if that goes to what you were saying, Tanya, earlier, right? You know, if I pronate or supinate, that means when I'm walking, am I stepping more on the inside of my foot or I'm stepping more on the outside of my foot?
Yeah.
While there's a lot of exercises that can help you be more neutral, the truth is that some people are just built like that. It doesn't matter how much more training they do.
Like massive pronator. And that's, you know,
that. I mean, and that's okay. But there's shoes for that then, right?
Well, actually, Tanya has one in her hand at the moment.
Remember you were saying about the neutral shoes. I love those. So this is the ones I kind of like use to just walk around and just to strengthen. Yeah.
And that's to get everything sorted.
And I know you wear them as well, right? I think they're great for strengthening your foot because I feel people kind of like overlook that important part. Like you're strengthening your body, you're strengthening your quads and your glutes. But what about the muscles and your feet, you know, that are actually quite important to...
Well, some more natural position.
Yeah, so, you know, they allow for you to, like, move in a natural way.
And I would even take it further and just be as barefoot as you can. Like, at home, I'm just as barefoot as I can. You know, when it's summer, I love taking a couple of runs in grassy areas. And it's not about, like, I'm not going to, you know, PR my 10K. It's not at all that. It's like, you know what? I'm going to run 20 to 30 minutes at the end of my long run, just jog, feel the ground, have that proprioception activation, have, you know, the little bones in your shoes, in your feet, sorry, that are not used a lot when you're wearing shoes, right? Have those little joints strengthened, lubricated, you know, all that fun stuff. So, So, you're absolutely correct. And then that brings another topic. So let me close the three questions that I want to ask, and then we go to the other topic. So
I know,
everywhere.
All over the place.
I know because it's such a rich topic. I think we should do like maybe five episodes just about shoes.
What you wish for?
in today's monthly episode of shoes, right?
I know. We're gonna have to have you back every week.
Oh, I would love that. So if you already know what your goal is.
Yeah.
Or your initial goal is going to be, if you already know a little bit about yourself and this, you can also find information online. Like I know that a lot of us maybe don't have insurance to go to a PT or just don't have the, you know, there's a financial burden of having more experts take a look at you. I understand that as well. But, you know, we have the internet and you can just literally go on YouTube and type what type of runner am I? And you'll find a lot of tests that you can do recording yourself with your iPhone or with your Android. Yeah. I'm not discriminating here in terms of technology, but you know, like, yeah, like there's some tools. So understand, do a little bit of research of what type of runner are. And then the third thing that I would say is what is going to take the majority of your runs in terms of the environment? Are you going to be running more on the road? Are you going to go running more on the trails?
Yep.
Is it more so that you're going to be on gravel roads walking your dog all the time?
Yeah.
And, you know, focus on that. And for me, the perfect example is the people that own Jeeps because they have the 4x4 on it.
Yeah.
I'm not judging, but a lot of people get them because they want to off-road, right? They want to off-road, right? Yeah. If you off-road one day, every weekend, that's 50.
Oh, there we go.
We're good?
Yep, we're good again.
We lost you for like 1 second.
All right, so you buy a Jeep because you want to off-road.
Got you.
So third time, you buy a Jeep because you want to off-road.
Yeah.
If you use it one day a week, throughout the year off-roading, you're gonna use it 52 times, and then you have to pay for the parts and the gas on the upkeep of the car for the other 310 days that you are not using it for what it's for.
Yeah.
Same thing with the shoes, right? Like, you know, what is going to be the majority of the of your training or of your races or whatever you're going to do? What is going to be the majority of it? And get a shoe that focuses on that, that is designed for that, right? And that goes to every single piece of footwear that you own. Because, of course, you know, you may have one for running, one for the gym, stuff like that, right? Yeah. So what is the major, like, for example, Tanya, to your point, like, if I need a gym shoe and the more, what I'm going to do the most is heavy lifting, the shoes that you have, people barefoot, are the the perfect one for
that.
The ones
I use, this is the ones I'm used to. Just walk around,
if you're gonna do,
go to the gym.
If your definition of going to the gym is doing plyometrics, then probably not the best one.
Probably not, yeah.
So, you know what I mean? So within running, what are you going to do? You're going to be trail running? Are you going to be doing mostly road? Do you live in an environment that is super cold? Yeah. So maybe you want something that's a bit warmer, maybe?
Yeah. Also there, speaking about cold and stuff, also about sizing, because then that would go into if you were wearing a thicker, you know, that happened to me in one of the races. I was training with my shoe. It was going to be really cold, so I decided to wear a really thick sock. And obviously, at the end of the race, my whole toenails were absolutely purple because obviously it was like super, super, you know, tight, my shoe. So maybe I should have gone one size bigger just to...
I'm going to give you the best advice to size your shoe. This is the number one advice that I give people when they know the sizes, right? Typically, you take your shoe, for those of us that are not, that are just listening, you take your shoe and then you kind of like point your big toe up and then you see how much space you have left, right? Yeah. That's typically what we do. Yeah. So like if we're looking at, for those that are actually watching the episode, then you do this and they're like, oh, look at that, all that space, right?
Yeah.
But the truth is that when you raise your big toe, you are making your foot shorter.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yes, of course.
So it's not giving you...
pressing.
Exactly. It's not giving you a real feel for how much space you have.
Yes.
So if you're going to go buy shoes, I would say plan to do it at the end of your day so your foot is as big as possible because it's been swollen.
That's
from you
one.
Doing stuff all day around. So do always go at the end of the day, you know, to the running store, or if you're going to buy them online, just try them on for the first time at the end of the day, right? Yeah. And then see how much space you have when you are putting pressure on your toes, because right. that is going to move your toes a little bit closer to the tip. Does right. that make right. sense?
And that's
so
a launch
stand
pattern,
up,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And exactly. Stand up.
And your tiptoes.
Key standing up because the weight of your body is also going to expand your tissue
exactly.
a little bit, right?
Yep.
So
okay.
stand up, put weight on the toes, and then you're going to see really how much space you have.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Right?
That's
okay.
really good.
And
That's
then,
really good advice. Yeah.
And then from there, we go to personal preference. I personally like...
I would go like preference, like, oh, let's see, you know, try that size and see how you get on. If you start getting those purple toenails, that is not the right shoe for you.
Of course.
Because
I
feel like runners, we put that, the purple toenails in, you know, like a badge of honor saying like, oh, I'm
it's
a
not.
Super
it's,
top
it's
runner.
Being,
it, and it's not. Like, it's, you're used
I never
to
saying had,
the wrong shoe.
I never had one until this ultra that I just did last month
oh,
in Mexico.
Oh, you need to tell me about that one. But yeah,
because I mean, it's a long story. But basically, I was dealing with an injury, and I thought I was going to do only the marathon. But you know, you get
why not do the full thing? Yeah.
Se me calentaron las piernas. And
you need to do the whole thing.
So I packed my shoes for a marathon, and when I do ultras, I go half size more.
That's
so
another thing. You
that's
I
what I do
say,
for ultras.
You should know yourself a little bit as well, knowing if you're going to swell or not. There's people that swell a lot, like up to one size, and there are some people that don't. I, for example, when it's a normal race, I don't. Like, for example, the 100 miler, I was able to keep my shoes the whole entire time. It was absolutely fine. But in the desert, I go one size bigger. Just
except
because
the heat.
I think it's just the heat, and obviously you are... the hydration and everything, and you're eating so much salt and so, you know, so the conditions make me blow up a little bit more.
Yeah.
So it's something that you have to know about yourself as well. Like it's just
experience. Yeah, and that's trial and error. Like once you get your first, you know, your first black toenail, then you know.
Well, exactly. That's what then, I want to tell people. Like, if you're getting black toenails, it doesn't mean that you're doing the, you know, you're doing the, a lot of miles and you're a hardcore runner. You're just having the wrong shoe size. So stop your idealization, the idea of actually, the blue toenails.
And it's funny when you try on shoes. I don't know if you do this, but I'm pretty sure everyone does. Is they try them on and they do a fake run around the living room. It's like a bouncy fake run, and that is not the way to try on shoes, is it?
You just got the right way to try shoes.
We just got the right way.
And there's a couple of more tips that I can give for those folks out there that want to do a little bit more distance. So another thing is that if you just need more room to grow, quote unquote, right? But the length is good, go to a wide shoe. Like there's widths. There's widths in shoes. And I feel that we are like, I don't have wide feet. Like if it's if it's like an offense, it's not. Like
it's
I have very low volume in my feet. But my toes splay so much that I typically go with a wide for racing. And I just tie them a little bit snugger and that's it, right? But I have more room.
A lot of people don't realize that. A lot of people don't realize you can get wide fitting.
And actually you like now the new wave or the new is showing that you should have your feet should be wide. Like that's the natural state of your shoe or your foot, sorry. That's the right natural shape. And that's how you should be, you know, not obstructing your foot, being pointy like the trainers, just actually give them the enough room to kind of like spread. So actually it's actually better. Like you like probably and that's why I like the Bebo barefoots because that allows that spreading as well. And
a little tidbit there. A lot of it is just historical. You know, when you have your toes together, they conserve heat a little bit more. So
interesting.
So part of the dawn of more shoes was that we're starting to live in more environments that require a little bit more covering, including weather. So, you know, if the shoes are a little bit more enclosed, your toesies get toasty with each other. And we just, and then we go, you know, there's other aspects, right? Like fashion and whatnot, right?
Yeah, that's
like, but part of it is just historically, that's how we've made shoes, period. And we have not questioning until honestly very recently.
Until now.
I would say this whole tendency, I mean, I would say it started maybe with the barefoot movement that was around 2008. That's when we started it's kind of recent, like when we started to break those barriers of, you know, what if we do this? What if we do that? Right? Hoka is on the other side of the spectrum. It's a maximal shoe, right? As well, which has its benefits, its challenges, its, you know, different things, but it's very recent when you think about it.
I remember Hoka was my first super shoe ever. Like I was in Mexico, obviously, and there was, I think not even Mexico have heard of it. And I had to order them online from the US and I brought them over and everyone's like, what is that shoe?
Actually,
it was like,
you know, on that note, let's talk because you asked super shoes at the beginning and we're running out of time and we have not talked about it.
Oh, I know.
So, what's
something I'd said? But I was saying that for me, Hoka was the first proper, I would call it cloud running shoe, and it sparked other brands now to do the same. So even those super shoes, where does it go from here?
So, you know, I think that people don't, like I said, we start to see what we can change in the food world, right? For example, like I was saying before, maybe we're just experimenting with the drop. Maybe we're just experimenting with the rubber. Then we experimented with having more aggressive design on the outsole, right? That's the classic hiking boot, you know, design that has on all your Timberlands and like that classic mountaineering boot. It was this guy in Italy that founded Vibram that came up with that design and that changed forever the outdoor industry, right? So we start to change things. We started to experiment with more materials. Now we have EVA, we have sugarcane EVA, we have PIBA, et cetera. And then, you know, up memory to foam. Like maybe two or... Yes, exactly. Like memory foam, which that was a dark stage in footwear. But
we do love them though.
They're comfy, but you know, for performance, that's a whole rabbit hole. But anyway, and then now you can see PIBA and EVA in every single brand.
Yeah.
And now it comes to how we cook it. Yeah. So now it changes like the temperature that we use for and the amount of time that it sits changes the amount of air, changes the resiliency, the capacity to deform and come back to its original shape, changes the compression set. Now we also for example, at Hoka that we are known, and I'm going to put it on the camera for those that are actually watching. So it's a very high stack, but the way we do the shaping and grooving, and that's kind of like the design you see in the bottom of the shoe,
yeah,
it starts to change in a way that now I have more mobility and I'm just basically flip, like just squishing the shoe. So yeah. Look how much mobility we have. When
much more than before, definitely.
And then, you know, it just goes.
Not rigid anymore. Yeah, well, they used to be.
Right, rigid. Back up, right? Right? Because we're thinking like, you know, Hoka used to be this shoe that it was like wearing platforms in the 90s at the club, right? Like this thick piece of foam. But now even the way we shape the foam changes how the shoe behaves. So there's a lot of things that we keep exploring in terms of footwear.
Definitely. Well, I'll show you guys what I'm taking to the desert. Do you want to see?
Yeah.
Are you ready? I unpacked them from Jordan, so they are absolutely super.
They still have bits of Jordan in them.
I just took them out. Ta-da! This is the shoe, guys.
Yes.
It's going to take me. It took me through Jordan. I absolutely love them, so I'm not changing anything. If it's not broken, don't change it. So this is the Stinsons. I am a Stinsons fan. So this is the shoe that I'm taking.
Very cool.
Hoka, obviously. Yeah. And I send them to stitch the whole
Velcro.
So it is going to have, I was going to bring them guys, but I packed already
the gaiters
and they are in Dubai already. But I'll show you the whole thing. But this is the shoes that I'm going to take and they are one size bigger than I usually go. So these are 7 and I'm usually
which
six.
Is perfect. It's perfect for the desert. That's awesome. So that's a Stinson 6, yeah?
That's a Stinson 6. What do you think?
Yeah. I love the Stinson is such a great shoe. That brings us like a couple of other things. Like for example, one of the things that you have in that shoe is that you have 2 different layers of foam. That is now also another thing that we're doing is we put 2 layers of foam in some of our shoes, right?
This one's
different. So, you know, for the something that we did for the Stinson, for the Stinson 7 that just came out, but it's just kind of like following the line of what the shoe was for, was to add 1 layer of foam that's slightly a little bit more firm to provide a little bit of extra stability. So you have that plush landing, that shock absorption, but you're not in a marshmallow. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's so, exactly. I chose these ones for the desert because it's like you don't need an extra cushion because it's like the ground's already
you're in the sand.
Cushion.
Yeah, so you're in the sand.
I don't need
an
extra cushion. So I needed something like, but cushions, like a little bit cushion, of course, because there's a lot of distance, but I don't need like you said, a marshmallow with my, like it, there's no point.
But that's, you know, that's a lot. You're a very insightful runner, you know, your race and you've done it before, obviously. But yeah, those are the little things that you need to ask yourself, you know, and this probably like, for example, for UTMB, I would never bring this shoe. Well, I probably could.
That's
but like,
problem,
but there are other shoes that are more tailored for UTMB, for example, right?
Yeah. And for the terrain as well, like I said, like I think UTMB may be a little bit more rocky and maybe this wouldn't be, you know, as
and for example, Jim won UTMB last year on a prototype from us, from Hoka. So which is kind of like an improvement on the Tectonix 2. And of course, at some point, a version of this shoe may be available for everybody to experience it. But, you know, one of the cool things that we have with our trail, with our Tecton X line is that we have carbon plate in the trail. So we have a carbon plate inside, but instead of having a full plate that would be too rigid for you to be agile.
Yeah, that's
we
what
have,
I was like, I didn't want to
be
there.
It's weird. Of course, it's weird. And I've, as a runner, I tried other brands that have a full plate and I didn't like it that much. So we do is that we have 2 parallel bars. In the Tecton X2, we have 2 parallel bars. So you have the rigidity and energy return of the carbon fiber plate, but you still have some agility. So those are the Tecton X2 that we are actually currently now offering. But yeah, and that falls in the category of a super shoe, which a super shoe, what is a super shoe? It's basically a shoe that has a big stack, typically above 40 millimeters, you consider it a super shoe, that has a foam that is extremely bouncy. Right, that's also a big component of it. Like, you wouldn't consider a thick walking shoe a super shoe, right? Yeah. The super shoe, by definition, goes into that performance aspect, right? Mm-hmm. And typically, they have a stifling component to it or a rigidity component to it, which is typically a carbon fiber plate.
Yeah.
Right? And the idea is that if we can visualize a carbon fiber, it's very rigid. So if we apply weight on it, it's not going to deform as much. It's going to fight that and give you that much energy return back. So we go back to Newton's laws.
Which ones are those, Sonia?
So those would be what you're talking super shoes are the, no, is the typically Tectos, they have a carbon fiber plate.
That you guys
so oh, with for it. our trail we have the Tecton X, and then for the road we have though. Yeah, and then for the road we have the Rocket X2. We have the also right now the Cielo X1, which was just released last month. Well, the big change on that one was the shape of the plate. And, you know, like, you, to your point, I'll Andy, we keep experimenting with it.
I'll give it a shot to those, because after Hoka broke my heart, you know.
You need to
find some
Amiibos. I had to go and look for other ones, and I landed with New Balances at the moment. So, but I will definitely, I mean, for road, right? For trail, I'm still using Hoka. It's just the
relationships are hard, Tanya. I get it.
No, I was so heartbroken. I messaged you like, can you find me ones? And we were trying to find them online on eBay, you know, like I just, even if they're used, like, I don't care. I just tried to get them. But
there's something coming up this year that is going to make your heart sing.
Please.
That's all I'm going to say. I'll text you when it happens.
How was your race, by the way? Just
to actually, yes, I know that you started your question with Super Shoes and we barely touched it, but I'm super happy to come back to talk strictly Super Shoes because that's a whole different category.
I would love that, actually.
I think everyone is, like, it's one of those topics. Where, like, you know, like,
I would say that
every topic we talk here is like training and nutrition.
When you're talking shoes, if you end up with more questions, I feel that I did my job because that's what I want people to do, to question, their choices and get a little bit more informed. But anyway, putting that aside, thank you. I ran the Caballo Blanco Ultra, which is, for those listening,
it's like legendary.
It's part of the Born to Run, you know, it's part of the Born to Run book. And it's a legendary race that happens in the Copper Canyons in Mexico with the Rarámuri tribes in the Tarahumara region. And it's rough. They have the Caballo Blanco race has a half marathon, a marathon, and a 50 miler.
Yeah. Oh, nice. I didn't know. I thought it was just a 50K. Right?
No. There's no 50K, actually. It's marathon or 50
mile? Oh, it's 50 mile. I just seen a 50 and I assume it was 50K. Okay.
No. So you go from 42K to 80K.
Of course.
So
you did the 50 miler?
Yes.
Even though you were going for the marathon?
Yes. You know, that's
like
what happens.
I would definitely do.
I recommend that race. So, like, you know, it's a good experience. Most of the people that you run with are indigenous people still running in sandals. Like, that is true.
I need to see.
It's very rare to see, you know, an indigenous runner with shoes. And if they have shoes, they probably have whatever shoe they could find. So forget all that we conversed, you know, like, you know.
And they will still beat you. They will still beat most of 100%. The people out there.
I think they're called Tarachis, aren't they?
Rarámuris.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like I was racing for a very long time next to a lady that was probably 30 centimeters smaller than me. So her stride was way, way smaller. And she was wearing plastic sandals. And I could not leave her behind. Yes, she was wearing a skirt, right? It's traditional skirt. And I could not leave her behind until we got to the uphill. I'm like, okay, I have big legs for that. All right, I can do that. But I mean, there were amazing runners. I had the opportunity to talk to a couple of them while we were running together. Some of them speak still very broken Spanish.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's definitely out there. It's also touristy in a way that there's a lot of people from the States and other parts of the world that go there because of the book. So there's a little bit of a quote-unquote show that gets put on.
All right.
But it's still a good experience. It's definitely still a very good experience. Good.
I feel like it's one of those races that, like you said, it's just legendary. You need to do it. Like once, you know.
It's bucket list.
Yeah, it's a bucket list. I will definitely, it's in my bucket list, definitely. Maybe after Cocodona. Yeah, I need to first.
Cocodona is one of those very prestigious also bucket lists.
As well. Yeah. So here is, I'm going to put you in the spot. Right here, I'm going to ask you if you want to come out to Cocodona with me next year.
If I want to come what?
To Cocodona to pace a couple of miles with me.
Oh, yeah. I can do a couple.
I know you were going to say yes.
100% I can do a couple of miles in Gokodona.
Do you know, just a couple.
Yeah,
that's actually now got two.
I know. That's why Andy's training for. He wants to run a little bit with me, you know, at some point.
Andy, let's do it. Let's go. I'm all in.
I know.
Let's
maybe
go.
I'll take maybe Antonio just in the night, just because he's a little bit, maybe, you know, he will take me back safely. Yeah.
I've not practiced with a head torch yet.
Yeah,
sorry.
Exactly. I'm like, we'll keep you during the day. You will have your day shift. Yeah. And you can take me through the
night. Which actually works out great because of the time of the race. I live in the northeast of the United States, so we still have snow. So there's the heat acclimation for Gokodona, for people that live in cold places of the world, is difficult. So it's probably going to be even better that I do nights, because I'm not going to be used at all to be running in the heat anyway.
Exactly. So it'll be fresh, and actually it gets quite cold at night from where I've
And by that
read.
Point, I'll be training in Dubai, so it'll be perfect for me.
Yeah, we will be in Dubai training.
Yeah, you guys will be super conditioned for that.
I know. Yeah. We're excited. Oh my God, it's been so informative. Like,
amazing.
I think everyone's going to have, like you said, more questions.
I've been unusually quiet because I've been listening so much. I'm like, this is brilliant. I didn't know these things.
He was so excited for today's chat because he's like a trainer fan. So yeah.
I also feel like Andy and I know each other so much through you, Tanya.
I know.
That there was like no intro needed or anything. Like, yeah. Oh yeah, I know
you
this
guys
guy.
Are pals. Yeah, you guys are pals. Yeah, we're, you guys love shoes.
We're pals by proxy.
Yeah, that's it, exactly.
Well, we met, Tonio and I met, like you were saying, and mentioned really briefly, because we used to train with the same trainers back in Mexico, and obviously he was into ultras, and he met me, same thing, like Alvar, pretty much, since I started.
Yeah.
Since I started my first race, and it's just great now that, you know, you and me and have been kind of like evolving and kind of growing and still doing what we love. And that's what I you know, I want to invite people like that also, because they keep doing whatever makes them ultra happy.
Yeah.
And he is an ultra happy person. And I just love to have friends and just hang about with people like you, with your vibe and your story. And you're so inspiring. So, and I'm really, really grateful that you're my friend and you came here to chat about your passion of shoes and running.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And same goes to you. I still remember our first conversations, and now seeing you with such an established following, having athletes all over. You know, you've come such a long way, Tanya.
Oh my God. What's like one thing that you remember?
It's
crazy.
One of the things
he met me before you met me, so
he
probably has a better, like, you know, tiny.
I think that probably as an athlete, I don't remember a lot of things because we just kind of like texted each other, and because at the time we were both into Spartan, but I was doing more Spartan endurance, you were doing more Spartan race, so probably not that much into the athletic part because we were not really parallel that much when we first met. But I remember when you started coaching. I remember when you started coaching that you had, you know. At the time, I was running Sabash USA. I had like some customers, and we were just bringing our coaches' names to it. And I remember you were asking a lot of questions about like, hey, you know, what do you think about this in terms of coaching? How do you program this and stuff like that?
Yes.
And they were very intelligent questions. And I remember, I from my recollection, I didn't give you very intelligent answers. I was just like,
doesn't matter.
Well, I don't know. I guess it's a window burpees.
Just send them to the windows and burpees, and we're fine.
Exactly, because we were like in different spaces of the sport. But I remember, you know, shortly after seeing your content with your clients and seeing the type of workouts that you put on, and I was so impressed. I'm like, this is somebody that just, you know, nose to the ground, one step in front of the other, and just, you know, go for it. And honestly, that's for me, that's the inspiring part, right? Like people that are say, I'm interested in this, and I'm going to become an expert in this, and I'm going to pursue it, because everybody likes the idea of being good at something.
But it's so hard.
But actually,
But
being good at something takes a lot of consistency. So, hat off to you, my friend.
Oh, you too. I know. I've seen also your journey, and I know the struggles. And there's not been happy all the way.
Yeah.
Let's say that. I know there's been struggles as well, but that's what it makes it, like, you know, even though the struggle, you came out, you know, even stronger on the other side. And I am so happy that you are in a good spot, in a good place now. And you just seem happy as well. And I just love sharing this space with you today. Again, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you guys. This was lovely.
I had
such a fun
do
time.
It again.
We will definitely have you again.
I know. Everyone, if everyone wants Tonya back, let us know.
Let us know. We'll be inundated now.
I know. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for... let me say goodbye first to our guest. Thank you so much, Tonya, and it was such a pleasure to have you on, and I'll talk to you later. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Ciao, amigo.
Thank you. Bye, amigo.
Ciao. Be ultra happy, everybody. Happy trails.
Be ultra happy.
I love it. Well, that was amazing.
Oh, that was so good.
Yeah.
You have more questions than answers now?
Well, the thing is, it was actually brilliant because what it's done is it's given us, we were going to finish up on a section because we were talking about my footwear and my journey. Remember when we were getting this on? And we kind of touched upon it there. And you know, Antonio answered so many questions for me. And actually, he's kind of almost answered some of the things we're going to talk about just now.
So he took all the topics away from us.
Took all the topics away from us. But from someone, we were talking about like some of the information that he gave us there. I brought up, for example...
Your trainers.
These trainers here, right? These are the Nike Air Zoom Tempo Next. This is what I started my running journey on. And now after listening to Antonio, and we were saying about that, he's like, that's no good for somebody like me.
I told you.
I know.
That you're not supposed to.
But the thing is like I was saying as well, I started on brand identity.
Yeah.
I loved it. And the problem with that shoe for me in hindsight now was that it made me fast. And it projects me forward, which was not my running style. But also, it kind of made me nervous. Now, the bizarre thing is, I love those trainers.
I know.
They look amazing.
They look.
Well. Right? But see, after speaking to him, I now understand what the problem is. Look at how
rigid
they are compared to what
it is. They're not very stable.
And they're not
very
stable. And my ankle wasn't great.
Exactly. So you need to take that into consideration.
Running into that topic.
I told you that.
But what got me enjoying running was, and we touched upon it there, and they're not Hawkers because we discussed about whether Hawkers would be better for me or not. I ended up getting the New Balance Fresh Foam via Kahaya 2024.
So those are actually my shoes, guys. Those are my training shoes for roads. I just didn't want to bring them because they are absolutely very nasty.
You don't have the road Kahayas like that. You've got the female version. It's a bit of a different one. But what we found with them is they helped my ankle. I didn't feel the pain as much.
Because if you see the landing, right, in that one, it's a little bit slimmer, and these ones are a little bit thicker, so you have your landing is a little bit more secure and safe.
And like he was saying, see if you look at those. Look at that.
You have a little bit more wiggle room.
Everything happens in it. It's a bit wider because we were talking about the width. And the interesting thing about that shoe for me is one, it helped my ankle.
Yeah.
My pace got better. My endurance was good.
And your pain of your ankle.
But I felt confident in them when I was running.
Yeah, because you're not landing in a tiny strip. Now you have a little bit more of a landing space.
But that is exactly, and you know, like the questions that I was asking were based around those shoes, and that's why we brought them. And everything he said is in that.
Exactly. And I wouldn't recommend probably those shoes for someone that's starting, right? Like a normal, like let's say a regular person. I wouldn't recommend them to go with these shoes. They're like really, really high stack shoe, really, really a very cushioned shoe. If you're just starting, if you're just going to run 5-10Ks, there's no reason, there's no need for that kind of shoe, right? The one that Andy's training. But because of his ankle injury and because that's what Tonya was saying, you need to take in consideration your past and your current specific to your... Yep. That's why I recommended to Andy, hey, let's try a super shoe, which is this one. That's the one I was wearing, so that's the one I tried to recommend. Again, it's a recommendation. Like Tonya was saying, you're just going to have maybe two or three options and then try them on. It's a trial and error, but you're going to just try two or three instead of trying 10, 20, that is going to narrow it down and it's just going to make it easier. You do still have to go through the trial and error a little bit just because it's so unique and so personal. So,
But
that's great.
That's why I feel, that's why I'm so excited talking about it because we brought those shoes.
So you were doing the right thing.
Yeah, we brought those shoes so we could show the difference at the start and the finish. And that was towards Antonio and he's told us literally what the problem was with me using that shoe to start with and then moving on to that. And in fact, the newsflash.
What?
the big man done 9K in 50 minutes in those ones. I'm getting closer to 10K. I'm getting closer.
1 kilometer, I'll give you that.
Just
say that you did 10K. No one's going to know. Tomorrow's
my day for 10K.
Oh my God. Awesome. Well, we had an amazing episode today. Very, very informative. Next episode next week is going to be our last episode of the season in Glasgow. And then hopefully the next episode will be in Dubai. And I should be getting ready for the desert. If we have time to record and everything, I'll show obviously how I'm going to do my final packing.
We have a new camera.
Yeah, we'll have a new camera and new setup and everything. I wasn't able to leave the bag here, and I'm not going to be able to pack with you guys. I think I'm going to have to do it over there because now all my stuff is all over the place. But we'll definitely do a video kind of putting everything together. But we have trained together. You pretty much all know the bag.
Been on the journey.
You guys have seen the food that I'm taking. Now it's time to put everything together. But you've seen it all. And we've chatted with the professionals about the whole journey and through all the key pieces that are going to make up this challenge. And it's just going to be one more week and then it's time to put it all together.
Well, also you just need to get there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about that last episode. We'll talk about the whole full logistics and then that's the last episode. Just to say arrivederci and off to the next adventure, life adventure and race adventure. Yep. So very excited for that. But thank you so much for chatting and listening to us today. Have a wonderful weekend. Keep doing whatever makes you ultra happy.